You are about to enjoy a By Maven Media production. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board-certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and a women's health physical therapist. I'm super happy you're here. Now let's wellness girl chat. This next essential that you should have in your exercise handbag is definitely one you don't hear as often, but it's super important as women to include this essential in your exercise handbag, no matter the style of handbag that you prefer. So let's dive in. Welcome back to Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board-certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and a pelvic floor physical therapist. And throughout the month of September, we are diving into what I'm calling the exercise handbag. We all have different styles of handbags that we like, but usually the essentials stay the same. The same can be said about our exercise routines. No matter if you like Pilates or barre or strength training or running, the foundations across the board should be the same, especially for us as women. So last week we covered high intensity interval training and sprint interval training. And then this week we will cover the often forgotten jump training. And you might be thinking, jump training, Kelsey, what even is jump training? It's as simple as it sounds, really. It's jumping. It's loading your body, your musculoskeletal system with extra than your body weight, with more ballistic movements that increase the amount of load that you're placing on your musculoskeletal structure, your joints, your muscles, your bones, your ligaments, your tendons, all of it. It is all affected in a beneficial way with jump training and is especially important for us to include as women. So a little backstory that we've mentioned on the podcast before, but if it's your first time joining us, I want to make sure that we have a little bit of a physiology lesson for when we start to talk about some of the benefits of jump training on our system. So as we age, no matter if you're male or female, we start to lose bone mineral density as we age, where bone breakdown outpaces bone formation. And this is especially the case with women. Women are at a higher risk for developing osteopenia, which is basically weaker bones, and the prerequisite or the one that comes before osteoporosis, which is a lot of the time what you hear about in older individuals and what increases the likelihood of fractures within the bone. So osteoporosis is the more advanced stage of that bone breakdown that starts to be extra concerning. And as women, we have a higher risk of developing both. So it's this imbalance, let's say, that we're constantly fighting against as we age. Oftentimes after the age of about 30, it happens pretty young, where we start to see some of the slowdown of that bone formation. And this process affects women more than men. So it's super duper important for us as women to load those bones and provide sufficient stimulus to our bones so that we can build bone in our younger years, our adolescent and young adult years, and then also work against the natural physiologic process of bone breakdown as we age. And there are studies that show through purposeful stimulus, whether that is jump training or another essential in our handbag that we'll talk about later in the month, we can actually work to combat some of that bone breakdown. So there are a few cutoffs and diagnoses that you might have heard before. The first one being osteopenia. And osteopenia is pretty much the midpoint between healthy bones and fragile bones. It's where bones are below average bone mineral density for your age. So it's like that yellow flag, that warning that, hey, we might need to figure something out in order to help slow down the bone breakdown that's happening within our bodies. Osteoporosis is the more advanced stage of bone loss, and it's where bones are actually porous, fragile, and more likely to fracture. The Bone Health and Osteoporosis Foundation reports that up to 50% of women and 25% of men over the age of 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis. So it's very serious and something that in our younger years, a lot of people don't know about and don't know how to positively build that foundation of bone mineral density. So it is something to watch out for, no matter if you're male or female, but especially if you are a female, because the max amount of bone mineral density, the foundation for our bones, the strength of our bones, is developed in those adolescent, teen, 20 years. So it's super duper important that we build that foundation in our younger years so that when we're older and our bone breakdown is naturally outpacing our bone formation, we have this greater foundation to stand on. And by knowing what stimuli can positively affect bone mineral density, we can start to work against that natural bone breakdown that happens as we age. So there are a few things that affect bone mineral density, some that are in our control and some that are out of our control. Things like age, biological sex, race, genetics, loading velocity, stress, strain, and diet all affect our bone mineral density, which is basically the strength of our bones. A few of these things are under our control, and again, a few of them aren't. Most notably, the ones that are in our control: loading velocity, stress strain placed on the bone, and then also our diet. So how can we actually strengthen our bones to build that solid foundation? In our teens, 20s, 30s, this is the time where we can optimize that foundation. And really, honestly, in our adolescence, up to 40% of our bone mineral density is formed by puberty. So there's a sharp increase in our younger years, and then it starts to plateau off to where in our later years, we're fighting against this decline. And we really want to make sure that we build up the strength of our bones early on so that we can reduce the slope of that decline and maintain some of that bone mineral density as we age. So how do we strengthen our bones? Bones respond to mechanical load in multiple directions. Similar to how you think about muscles, right? When we stress a muscle, it starts to send reinforcements in order to build up that muscle to be able to tolerate that load the next time. Muscles pull on bones, so the same thing happens to our bones. Bones start to respond to that mechanical load, that stress and strain, in a lot of different directions. So in a similar way that our body is cued to build muscle in areas during training, our bones are also cued to build more bones in area that we load. And that load can come through strength training or through something like jump training. And jump training is almost like bone building on steroids a little bit, especially as we age. And as a side note, muscles pull on bones. So anytime we load the muscles, we are also loading the bones. The important thing for both loading the muscles and the bones is that we do it in a safe way. Jump training sounds super scary, especially for people who aren't used to doing jump rope and squat jumps or box jumps. It can be super scary, and it can introduce us to injury if our bodies aren't prepped and primed for it. So a lot of the studies that say how beneficial jump training is actually start with a foundational strength training program to help the body build that foundation for when the researchers decided to add that jump training into the program. So I cannot overstate the importance of having a good foundation to build upon when we're talking about jump training. We don't want to start off just jumping and just loading our joints, our muscles, our tendons, our bones in such an extreme high velocity way, because that will only introduce injury that much more. We want to do it in a safe and effective way. Along a similar line, jump training is effective at all stages of the lifespan, but that doesn't mean that as a young athlete, we're going to be doing the same jump training as I give some of my 80-year-old patients. It can be titrated or altered or modified to fit the musculoskeletal system and the physiology of the person in front of us. So make sure you take into account your current physiologic musculoskeletal health before we start adding jump training that is way above your threshold for improvement. So we want to hit that sweet spot, one that is below the threshold for injury, but above the threshold for maintenance. Bone mineral density peaks at or before about 30 years old, which is a lot younger than a lot of people think. And so it's important that we include jump training before to help build that foundation, but then also well after, into our 80s, so that we can use that stimulus on steroids, that jump training, in order to positively affect our bone health. If at-home workouts, sculpt classes, mat Pilates, or barre are some of the styles of exercise handbags you enjoy, then let me introduce you to your new favorite brand. Stacked makes super chic and functional exercise equipment to take you from at-home workouts to the studio and everything in between. If you're looking to upgrade your exercise handbag, check out the stacked mat and weights at the link below as a way to support the pod. Now let's get back into it. So some of the benefits of jump training. We have, of course, improved bone mineral density with jump training. It's almost like the secret sauce for improving our bone density on steroids. It's also effective for all ages throughout the lifespan. It's fall risk protection and it's injury risk protection. As a physical therapist, it's also super important for tendon health. It's also been shown to improve bone mineral density in women who are on oral contraceptives. Certain oral contraceptives, depending on the type of oral contraceptive, the age that you're taking them at, the length of time that you've been taking them, have a risk of decreasing the rate of bone formation in peak bone formation years. A lot of the time, young girls, adolescents, teens, 20-year-olds are put on oral contraceptives, and those are peak bone formation years. So jump training can help combat some of the effects of the decrease in bone mineral density. And there's also improved bone mineral density in adolescents who start a jump training program. Again, building that foundation is so important especially in younger girls. So now that we've talked all about jump training, how can you actually incorporate it into your exercise handbag? First things first, have a great strength training foundation. Jumping, just like high intensity interval training and sprint interval training, puts your musculoskeletal system at risk if you don't have the proper foundations, which is why I like to mention a strength training foundation first. Don't start off with the highest jump single leg work. Start bilateral, start a little easy, start a little lighter than what you think your body can tolerate, and then build up from there. It's okay to ease into it. One study on perimenopausal women performed a foundational strength training program first, then added in bilateral, which is like double leg squat jump training, then unilateral, so think split squats, split jumps, lunge jumps, whatever you want to call them, then increased height and direction. That's the important thing too. Bone responds to multidirectional mechanical loads. So eventually we want to build up to be able to tolerate more directions and quicker speeds, more weight, more height, unilateral, bilateral, all the different variations. So it's important to build. We don't want to start at the hardest jump first and expect our body to adapt. Let's truly build up. So how should we implement it in our own exercise handbags? A study in college females showed that bone mineral density improved with 10 vertical jumps. So that's just thinking like straight up jumping as high as you can, double leg, 3 times a week with 8 to 12 seconds for each interval. And that protocol improved bone mineral density at the lumbar spine and the hips, which are the areas that are typically analyzed when talking about osteopenia and osteoporosis. They're the ones that we start to look at to see how, to generalize, how is that risk for weaker bones or a bone mineral density loss throughout the body. So even something as little as 10 vertical jumps 3 times a week has been shown to improve bone mineral density in college females. I use that study as a way to show just how little time commitment this takes in order to implement jump training in your own schedule. Another important thing to know when implementing jump training into your exercise handbag is to vary it. We don't just want to be doing bilateral. We don't just want to be doing straight up and down. We want to change direction. So think side to side, forward, backwards, twisting. We want to do single leg. We want to do double leg. We want to do barefoot. We want to land with soft knees. We want to land with bent knees and sometimes a little bit of straight knees to increase that load in a healthy way. We want to jump up. We want to land. We want to jump down. We want to jump down and then explode up. So there's a whole lot of different ways to incorporate jump training, but it's important that we basically vary a lot of the different components of jump training to truly stress our bones in the most beneficial way and the way that's going to positively affect our bone mineral density. As far as sets and reps goes, 3 to 5 days a week, which you can mix them into your other workouts. I'm thinking with your strength training days, it's really easy to add in those 10 to 12 reps, 3 sets of jump training during your workouts throughout the week. So 2 to 3 sets of 10 to 12 reps, full body weight or semi-weighted is best. Minimum is 4 times your body weight for loading. I think it's about 4.2, but minimum 4.2 times your body weight for loading. Not that I expect you to calculate that, but just so you have it in your head, doing something like pool jumping is not going to load the skeletal system enough in order to affect your bone mineral density in a positive way. Yeah, it might get your heart rate up. It might have other benefits, but we really do want about that 4 times your body weight mark in order to positively stress the bones. So if you're a reformer Pilates girl, the way that you can implement this into your routine is load up the weight on that reformer, get on that jump board, and just jump as high up as you can. Load up all that weight, do single leg, do double leg, change back and forth, up and down, side to side, all different directions. You can totally do that on a Pilates reformer. If you're a yoga sculptor at home workout girly, this is how I do my jump training. But I do squat jumps, lateral hops, speed skaters. I do it with shoes. I also do it barefoot. Another important thing to note, you do also want to vary, if your feet and your body tolerates it, vary your support system. So shoes are obviously going to cushion it a little bit more and decrease some of the loading on your skeletal system. So if you can alternate shoes and not shoes, that's even better. If you're a runner, maybe begin or end your workout with a few split jumps. It's super easy to get that jump training at home or during that sculpt class when they're having you do those extra pulses, maybe get a few extra squat jumps in or a few extra lunge jumps in just to add in that jump training into your already scheduled workout. So this is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about the exercise handbag is because a lot of the things that I'm talking about and a lot of the essentials in the exercise handbag don't just positively affect us now, but really help us long-term. As a PT, I've seen so many patients post-fall who've had fractured hips and are learning how to rewalk. I know it's only recently that we're just starting to understand the importance of women, especially loading their skeletal system, loading their musculoskeletal system in a good way for the long-term benefits, not just the aesthetic short-term benefit. That is why I'm so passionate about educating, especially younger girls, younger women in our 20s and 30s, so that we really can maximize and optimize this time that we have to build those solid foundations so that our 80-year-old selves will thank us. So now we have two essentials in our handbag, high-intensity interval training and sprint interval training, and then also jump training, which all three, again, the HIIT and SIIT are together combined, but jump training I know is that like hidden secret one that not many people know about, and HIIT and SIIT are very controversial. So I hope these last two episodes, if you missed the HIIT and SIIT one, it is the episode right before this, so go and check that out. But we'll be covering more exercise handbag essentials throughout the month of September, but these are super duper fun ones because one is super controversial and one no one really talks about. So I hope you guys learn something about your body today, learn something about jump training and how to incorporate it into your own schedule and your own routine, no matter the style of exercise or the style of exercise handbag that you enjoy. And if you have time before you switch over to music or your next podcast episode, if you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing the show, I would greatly appreciate it. It means the world that you guys support me and listen to these episodes, and I'm just grateful because I love educating on this stuff and I hope you get a lot out of it. And if you do, it would mean the world if you went to rate and review it on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you got a lot out of this episode, and I'll see you guys again on the next episode of Wellness Fixes the Pod, where we will introduce a new essential for our exercise handbag.